I was going to start this off the same way that I typically start off every episode, right? Like, hey, thanks for joining me, all this kind of stuff. But I got to be honest here for a second. This is the second time I've done this intro tonight because I just sat here for the last, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes with a couple of awesome guests that are going to be joining me tonight to talk a little bit of Carolina Panthers football and prospects and something about their organization that they are with. And I didn't hit the record button. So for the last 15, 18, 19, whatever the hell long minutes, I've been sitting here doing an episode for me and me only. I'm going to tell you now, like, it's probably not going to be as good as that one because I thought we were really rocking the shit. I thought that we found a pocket. We were crushing it. But Alex was a little bit late and it was kind of throwing me off. So I'm going to bring up the first person that I'm going to blame here. Alex, hey, man, we've been doing this podcast for like a year and a half now, and I am pretty sure that was the worst situation I've been in. How are you, Alex?
It's like it's on purpose. Me personally, I know I wasted everybody else's time, but I am glad that it wasn't recorded because I was way late because I'm just dumb. I really am just got dumb. And I'm going to blame it on my kid. It might be a disease. I don't know. I just got a lot dumber over the last like.
Look, the best thing, is you thought you wasted everyone's time. I literally did waste time. So for the sake of not continuing on that path, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to introduce. We've got two awesome guests tonight, man. I met one of these guys down in Spartanburg during training camp, and it was a pleasure to get to chop it up with him in person. The other guy I have had nothing but terrific interactions with as far as like discussing evaluations on prospects. He's somebody that I respect very much and think highly of his opinion, especially when it comes to evaluating prospects, but in his football and in life in general, man. Just these are both solid dudes who come from an outfit that I am a fan of and that I am eager to be able to learn more about. So without wasting any more of their precious time, I'm going to bring up Monty and JD from the Four-Man Rush. Monty and JD.
What's up, guys? What's up, guys?
Yo.
Man, first, thank you for being on. Second, thank you for staying on through the shit that was the beginning of this episode. I promise you this is going to get better as we go along. I swear. And if it doesn't, man, it's all on Alex.
It's not going to get better. We've been doing it for like 6 months. It's pretty much this is how it's going to be.
Monty and JD, man, how are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, man, first to say, it's all love, bro. It happens. We were like, what happened? Are we stopping? And he's like, yeah, no, we have recorded over. So, no, bro, it literally is cool, man. I'm literally having the ball with it, bro. It's fine. But what's going on, fellas? Thank you for having us on.
Thank you for coming on, man.
Yeah, usually I would meet everybody before the show, and like you know, we do like these all these like introductions and pleasantries, but
it didn't work out. The good news is, man, we've got nowhere to go but up. We're very similar to the Carolina Panthers right now. I don't know that there's that much worse that could happen than that start. It's kind of like the Bryce Young trajectory. Like we all know that we've got the potential. It's there. We've seen flashes. We just got to really make it consistent. JD, man, how are you doing?
Yo, I'm well. How are y'all doing?
Yeah, man, we're getting there. So look, what we had initially discussed, and man, I'm sorry, Monty, because you gave like a terrific answer to all this detailed answers, really. Four-man rush is the crew that you guys are with, the outfit, website, the informational tool, if you will, the fans site. I don't really know how to categorize it, to be honest, man, because like I just know that before I was involved in any of this Panthers Twitter and online stuff, I knew what Four-Man Rush was. I had heard about it. I had read on the website. I had seen interviews that you guys have had with players and with former players, offensive line gurus. I mean, you guys were one of the fan sources that were legit. Monty, how did this all come about, man?
Yeah, it really organically started off as just four football fans kind of, you know, kind of coming together on Facebook. You know, we initially started, gosh, it's been now like 6 years, 5 or 6 years ago, as just in a Facebook group about the Panthers. And we all kind of just wanted to take our own direction, or, you know, give our own opinions on North Carolina football, but kind of be more, you know, we kind of wanted to, if we're going to give an opinion, you know, we kind of want to have it being backed by factual opinions, or be backed by guys that actually have played the sport, you know, and actually guys that know what they're talking about. And it started off with me, Will, Kev, and Smooth. You know, that's kind of was the four guys that started off. Then we branched out and got JD, you know, great scout, you know, great talent evaluator. You know, that's kind of one thing that attracted us to get JD was, you know, this guy knows what he's talking about. I have one of my best friends from high school. He also joined us as well. He's a high school coach, you know, out in Dakota. So, we kind of try to do a good job of branching out and getting as many opinions and getting as many diverse opinions from different diverse backgrounds from football. And, you know, that's kind of one thing that we, you know, pride ourselves on, and trying to be a family oriented group as well, where, you know, again, we might not all have the same opinions, but, you know, we kind of try to move as one group. Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of the fun thing there that we have with on Twitter. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how we started. And it's kind of just grown into its own thing. Like I said, started 4 or 5 years ago, started on YouTube, and now it's kind of, we kind of are one of the bigger sports groups. And it's kind of crazy for me to say that, because I remember when we didn't have any viewers at all.
Yeah.
And now you hear people say, well, yeah, we knew y'all for a couple years ago. It's kind of crazy.
Man, I think that you touched on it, though, dude. I think that you touched on, like, what the appeal is, too. And it's that family aspect. Yeah. I didn't have the honor to interact with everybody, right? And I saw y'all's content. But then the more that I've, like, seen y'all interacting with each other, or I've gotten to interact with y'all, I realized, dude, like, y'all genuinely, like, give a shit about each other, man. Like, you can tell you support each other through, like, the same endeavors that you're doing or different endeavors. It's about life, too. Like, Monty, I know that you're a dad, and I see a lot of, like, the proud things that you post about being a father. And then I see your friends, man, like the people that you are with supporting you in that journey, like learning new shit about life. And I think that comes through, man, in the way that y'all handle each other.
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing that I'm blessed to have is a great circle and, you know, a great man group, you know, with these guys, you know, because, you know, we speak every day, and that's again a blessing that I can say I have. You know, I have a group full of men that are trying to do something with their life other than just, you know, anything that's resulting in, you know, in a negative outcome.
Yeah,
and that's dope. And it just so happens to be that it's, you know, through our favorite football team, and that's the Panthers. Yeah. No matter how trash we are,
man,
that's kind of the thing. No matter how bad we are, you know, that's kind of the fellowship that we've kind of developed and grown. And like you said, it's grown, and we started off with four people. It's kind of grown into like 8 or 9 people, and it feels like it just continues to grow, you know, whether for, you know, fans that we have, or, you know, guys that we meet in passing, you know, like you said, at you know, the meeting that we had, or, you know, us just meeting you, Rick, at training camp was super dope. So, you know, it's just kind of grown into its own thing. So, you know, something we're definitely proud about there.
You should be, man. And you also made a good point, and JD, I'll get your opinion on this one. You guys have such different perspectives, like different walks of life, different histories and paths with the sport of football, that you kind of brought this collective group together. You talked about Vince being the high school coach, and you talk about JD being a guy that JD, you went to school for this, man. Like, this is something that you are adamant about wanting to do with your life, and you're great at it, man. Like, can you talk a little bit about your specific background and how you kind of got into this thing?
Yeah, for sure. So, I went to school for journalism. I always tell people I am a writer by trade, a storyteller by nature. So I find, the storylines and everything, and I dig on portraying that story. So, started off as a journalist, and that teaches you how to format things, how to structure things. And then also, as a freshman, I really started getting into the film aspect of everything, film breakdowns. I was a big football head before then, way before then, but then I started marrying the two crafts, to where boom, I watch film, I understand the game. Let's put this in a format for people who might not understand as much or are still new to the game so they can learn and follow along with that. And that's been one of my big things for the last 8-9 years now going on. That's been my trade, and that's been my thing. And I always tell people, as great as you are or as good as other people say you are, never stop learning. You should never get to the point to where you can't learn from somebody. So even if it's a coach or somebody in passing or just a fan, I'm always trying to learn something from every conversation I have.
Now I'm gonna spill some beans here. JD is younger than me. I'm not gonna give away his age, but he's younger than me. But I'm gonna tell you, man, listening to you speak about stuff, you are a wise soul, man. Like, damn. I mean, really sitting here like talking about never stop learning and all that, man. It took me, I'm 36 now, and I might have learned that lesson at 35 and a quarter. Like,
hey man, well, we give him crap in the group chat. He's the youngest in the group chat for sure. So I mean, we definitely give him a hard time because he definitely says some wild young stuff that, you know, of course we're not going to disclose. I gotta let it be known there.
Okay, thank you for evening that score a little bit there, Monty, because I'm sitting here giving him all kinds of credit for being a little bit over mature. Yeah, and here you are.
He's putting on his best act right now, and I commend him. You know, I commend him for that. I appreciate it.
Now, a part of me does find joy in playing devil's advocate, so I do tiptoe in that a little bit, just to upset the old folks like Monty. You know what I'm saying? that's what I.
The old folks. Look at that jab, man. I mean, that's a nice little slight right there. He threw that in without even looking at it.
And it hurts, bro, because I'm bald, bro. So, you know, it really sticks in like, you little shit. But, you know, that's my brother, man. So I take it how it comes, man.
Well, and, you know, Alex and I have had conversations too, man, about like how just watching conversations on Twitter can be like watching a TV show. Like it's entertainment, man. And Monty, I'm going to give you the credit here. A lot of your interactions on Twitter, man, are some of the most hilarious and outlandish shit I have ever seen on Al Gore's internet.
Yeah, dude, I don't know how, you know, I take that as a step of approval, you know, but it's like, dude,
for sure.
I really don't know how to avoid it in a lot of cases, because I was like, dude, sometimes I really just be minding my business. Don't try to, you know, I just post clips, just try to post breakdowns myself. And then it turns into a war on Twitter. So yeah, man, I definitely try to have fun with it. You know, I definitely try to make it enjoyable. Try to make jokes out of it. It's all definitely all love from my end. But yeah, man, Twitter is its own world, bro.
Yeah, I definitely meant it as a positive thing. I think that it comes across very obvious that you're not actually looking to get in any kind of like an altercation with people on the internet.
Alex. I like jump on the internet like every now and then. I don't know anybody, and I just kind of jumped on like 6 months ago, and I'm like, hey, Ricky, are these people actually mad at each other? Like, is there signs? He's like, I don't know anything about anything. And he's like, no, they're just having fun. I'm like, okay, all right.
Hey, dude, I'm 32 years old, bald, with two kids. I don't want any problems. I'm trying to avoid all drama. I promise it is all joke. I guarantee it's all joke.
Monty's motto is, I don't want problems, but if you want problems, I'm going to say no problem.
Hey, that's actually really good. I like that. And of course, you got some people, though, that like you back and forth with on a regular basis, Monty, but that's all in good fun, too, especially with a couple of the guys like Cody from B3. You've got... You've done a podcast with Cody and Dez Johnson, right?
Right, yeah. And that's the thing. A lot of it is just organic fun. You know, Slick, me and Cody, you know, we all kind of go at it on a daily basis. And, you know, right, it is fully for entertainment purposes. And yeah, like you said, me, Dez, and Cody, you know, we kind of have, you know, done our own podcast as well, where, you know, that's kind of where, you know, our pocket, where we do kind of, and, you know, embrace, that's what we call an embrace debate, where we kind of, you know, take a lot of the banter or a lot of the arguments that we see on Twitter and take it all on a live podcast there and kind of debate those things there. So yeah, it really is just meant all in fun, you know, and again, sometimes it can go a little further than probably what it should, but, you know, again, it's all meant from a good space, and, you know, and just all trying to, you know, trying to get some laughs.
It's a good program too, man. Shout out to to Desmond Johnson. I've been fortunate enough to be on with him for one of his shows as well, for the Believe Network. That's a good dude, man, and you and Cody do a really good job with that stuff. JD, to get back to you real quickly, man, one of the things that I'm most jealous of with you is that you got to go down to Mobile for the Senior Bowl. How was that experience, and how has that kind of like changed your perspective when you're doing these film evaluations after now seeing some of these guys in person too?
Yeah, it's added plus for me. I've always been, especially if you're big on draft season like I am, it's like Christmas down there. It started a little rough. I had a layover in Atlanta. I wasn't going to make the flight. So I was like, I'll just take the extra hour and just chill and give me a little bagel to eat and things like that. I go to my gate and Luke Kuechly is there. So that immediately made it a lot better.
Okay.
Got to take a picture with Luke, talk to Luke, met some of my guys from the Draft Network, was on the same flight as me. So we hit the ground running. Obviously seeing the prospects out there doing their thing, getting a closer look at some of the guys in media day and all that good stuff was a fun task. And now I'm thinking about putting together a little Panthers brigade next off season to go down there and claim some content. So that will be.
You just got Alex's eyes perked up to that one. Alex, you going down to Alabama?
Probably not. I used to travel all the time. And then, you know, you have a kid and like pauses for a second, but maybe, who knows? I'm down if my wife lets me.
There it is. That's the kicker. You know, it's like that meme that you see on the internet of Ant-Man, but it's Camp-Man. Camp-Man, wife said no.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's how I was always like. I went to the Super Bowl in 2016. I was always a yes man. Like, you guys going to do this? Absolutely. And yeah. I knew this day was coming, and now I'm like, crap. Now I can't do all those things anymore.
Well, so maybe this is a good segment. Or a good segue into this thing, because we're talking about seeing all the things on the internet, right? And that's kind of what conjures up some of these conversations. Monty, one of the things that I think about with you in this draft process, right? One of the names that comes to mind when I think of you the most is Troy Franklin. You, I feel like, were one of the first to kind of bang that drum on bring Troy Franklin to Carolina.
Absolutely.
You still feel that same way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think to start, you know, again, I started the Troy Franklin thing kind of a year ago. And, you know, as the draft process, as we get deeper into it, I think we all kind of understand it's a fluid thing. You know, as we get more information about guys, as we get more tape, you know, guys kind of fall, guys kind of rise. I'm still very high on Troy Franklin. And I think kind of the biggest thing or that what started me being a fan of Troy Franklin was how explosive he was and, you know, and how consistently he could, you know, stretch the field and make defenses respect his speed. You know, that's kind of one of the biggest things that I started off with Troy Franklin. And looking back at his 2022 tape, dude, he was a monster, man. And, you know, of course he followed it with a crazy season this year, but, you know, he was just, you know, crazy explosive downfield. You know, I feel like crazy separation downfield. And one thing that I really loved about his game that I think doesn't really translate as much, or we don't see on the numbers, you know, when you pull up the, you know, the deep analytics, is how he plays the ball. You know, and I think, of course, as information has come, you know, I think scouts have fallen off about how aggressive he is about playing the ball. But right. I think that he, you know, I think he's a lot. He's more underrated as, you know, how he high points the ball, how he tracks the ball. I think that's a great asset to have as a receiver, and he does that very well. You know, on top of being a very explosive receiver, especially being how fast he is. So Troy Franklin, I'm still high on. Like I said, as the process is going, I have liked a little, or have guys found guys that I like a little more. But Troy Franklin is still a great prospect in my opinion.
Maybe like Keon Coleman is another guy that you're.
Hey man, sell the farm to go get Keon, brother. Sell the farm to go Keon, man. So that's.
So-
Yeah.
So Keon, all right. So look, we all know, right, that the top three receivers are not going to be in the realm of possibility for the Carolina right. Panthers.
Right.
After that, though, I honestly feel, and JD and Monty, you got to give me your opinion on this. I am of the true belief that from like 4 to 15 could be a matter of preference almost. Like, to an extent, there's obvious grading, right? That I right. think, like, I grade prospects, so, like, I have mine, and my big board is built by actual, like, raw grades plus positional value, right? But somebody who may just sit there and say, I'm going to rank players that I like, I wouldn't fault anybody. And we've seen it from Dane Brugler put out the beast today, right? And you see all these other analysts, Matt Miller, Mel Kiper. Some of these guys got like Roman Wilson in the top six, right? And then other times you look at Roman Wilson, he's a top 17 player on somebody else's. I mean, there is just a wide variety of opinions on this wide receiver class. Would you say that Keon would be at the top of your list from that second tier of wide receivers, Monty?
And like you made a great point. I think the next 5 to 6 guys, mm-hmm. totally down to preference, totally down, yeah. you know, based on what scheme or what your league, what you're going to ask them to do in your offense. So Keon, in my opinion, absolutely, he would be number 4. You know, he would be wide receiver 4 in this class. I think your top 3 guys are locks, and then it's a, I'll say it's about a significant gap between those first 3. You know, that you have, you know, Harrison Jr., Neighbors, and then Odunze. Then it's a, you yep. have a significant gap. And then I think Keon Coleman would be number 4, in my opinion. I can respect, like you said, I can respect guys that have Brian, you know, Brian Thomas ahead of him.
Right.
I don't agree with A.D. Mitchell being above Keon Coleman, but I can respect the argument. You know, so again, the next 3 or 4 guys, especially when you get down to Worthy, you get down to Xavier Leggett, you get down to, you know, Ladd McConkey, I think there's a lot of great receivers in this class, and that's kind of the good position we are in as a team, because you do fall into where you're going to get a good receiver at 33 or 39, you know, so either way, you're going to get a very good player. I think, like you said, it's really based on preference and based on what you're going to be doing on offense, you know, based on how you're going to use those guys and how you can get the most out of those guys, really.
Yeah, I like that. JD, do you think that the Carolina Panthers have to go wide receiver at 33?
I am the school of thought of no, simply because we're talking about how many receivers go in this class. I think as many as 8 can go in the first round. If that's the case, then that means you may not get your stab at one of the top receivers in that second tier, but you'll get a stab at another player that is a first round grade for you. So whether that's offensive lineman or edge that fell or interior defensive lineman, you'll get a stab at a starter at 33. So I'm not of the school of thought you have to, especially mm-hmm. with how deep the class is, especially going down from 10 to 15 to even 20. You got guys who have traits that can become impact players for your team. So I'm not too concerned about having to go for a wide receiver at 33.
So can you both give me a prospect that's not a wide receiver that you would jump at if they were available? And you know, realistic prospects that would be available possibly at that 33 or 39?
I'll go first. Darius Robinson.
Okay.
He's one of those edges to where in mobile and getting to see him in person, he was not a guy that stood out at first to me, because I was looking at the interior O-line. I was looking at
the 6'5", 285 pound dude didn't stand out to
The craziest thing about it is I see him out in the corner of my eye, but I'm like, he's 6'4", 6'5", 250. And I go back and look at my roster, and I'm like, is this the same guy? Ain't no way he's about 290 and he's moving like this. There's just no way. And then that night I go back and watch film. I'm like, oh my God, he is a beast. and this is the flexibility part of it too. And we'll probably get into this a little later of other guys that fit that mold for ever on defense. He can be inside, outside, slide all the way down to 3-tech, wide 9. He's done it all in his college career. So that's one of his strengths, and I wouldn't peg him at any one position. I think Evero's defense, with us being multiple, thrives with those type of guys.
So do you think that he's as intriguing of a prospect as he is specifically for the Panthers because of what you just talked about with Evero's scheme and how he handles his fronts?
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Yeah. Monty, how about you, man? Who's a prospect that if they were there at 33 or 39 that you would jump at over a wide receiver?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go the other Robinson since JD took my pick. I'd probably go Chop Robinson. Yeah, you know, I'm probably going to go Chop. I think, and for the opposite for Darius Robinson, I think he kind of fits that more outside linebacker role that you're going to need to fill, that you lost with Brian Burns, you know, and I feel like a lot of the upside that you are wanting him to be with Brian Burns, that's kind of what, you know, that what you're going to be looking to fill there. You know, you're that speed edge rusher, the guy that can kind of set, you know, not set the edge, but, you know, a guy that can, like I said, can beat you with speed, you know, still needs to develop, you know, that bag there, you know, with his moves there, but, you know, definitely can, all you got to do is pin your ears back and tell him to go get the quarterback. And he can kind of, you know, specializes in that. So yeah, I probably say Chop Robinson. I'm a corner, so you know I probably, if we weren't going to go pass rusher, it would be Nate Wiggins. That would probably be another dark horse guy at 33. That, you know, if he fell, I'm probably all on for a corner there. But yeah, I think we have an immediate need, you know, at pass rusher, whether it be Darius Robinson and we buff him in, on the inside, or Chop Robinson and, you know, we keep him at outside linebacker.
So if a guy like Johnny Newton is there at 33, is that another guy, like, and this isn't an edge rusher, right, but like you're gonna get a vertical pass rush from a guy like that, is that somebody that would intrigue either of you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of think in Avero's defense, I can't talk to that. You know, he kind of specialized, and this is kind of a conversation I've had, you know, with another scout, that he specializes where he doesn't need a dominant outside linebacker, dominant edge rusher to thrive with his defense. You know, he's going to beat you with that secondary, you know, and that's kind of another reason why if we went Nate Wiggins, I'd be all cool. You know, I mean, I'd be all for it, you know, because he's going to beat you with having a dominant secondary, and he's going to send multiple packages at you. He's going to test every inch of that defense, just like that offense is going to do. Now, I think that's kind of one big thing that we get, or an asset that we have with Vero. So, but yeah, I think, to be honest, I think we need an edge rusher or a pass rusher badly, whether it be outside linebacker or we bump him inside at defensive end. You know, I think either one, you know, that's going to address an immediate need that we have right now.
So, Alex, you and I have kind of had this conversation with a couple other guests too, and we always end up going back towards like a center as well. Because right now the plan, after giving, you know, $150 million, at least $150 million on paper dollars, to Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis, we're sitting there with Austin Corbett as a patchwork. We're just going to give it a shot because he's a smart individual. And, you know, it's okay that he's coming off of two severe leg injuries. It's okay that he's never taken a meaningful snap at center. He's going to be able to bolster that interior position for us. And it's a very important position with Bryce Young. So, Alex, what I'm asking is, I saw reports today of Jackson Powers Johnson falling, and Lance Zierlein, I believe, had said that was a name that he believed would fall out of the first round, or could potentially fall out of the first round. Did a lot of consensus mocks have him in. Mel Kiper. I don't know if Mel Kiper had been drinking a little bit of bourbon or something when he did his mock draft, but he had the Panthers getting JPJ at pick 47 after trading back. We always have talked about it, though. Zach Frazier was a guy that I was really high on. And Alex, I think that me and you almost went Zach Frazier the last time we did a mock. Do you think that that's still an option, or do you think that it needs to be a pass rusher?
I think it's truly going to be best player available. I really think that's what it's going to be. It's going to be how the board plays out. I also don't know how they feel about, Barno. They've been talking about Barno a little bit. DJ Johnson, they've talked about guys like Chuba. They talk about guys like Mingo, the guys that, like, who knows how Canales feels about them? Who knows if they get moved? If I'm sitting there and I'm the Bengals, right? I'm there's so many options open because so many people have to get paid next year as far as wide receivers. I don't know that that's going to be a thing. And I'm starting to feel like they're going to start trading back a lot. Because there's not like a true center on the roster, it's starting to make me feel like that's going to be the way they go. Because they've tackled edge, they've tackled linebacker, they've tackled corner, I guess, but that's like Evero's strength.
Yeah, Tank Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, who knows? But the one thing that there's, who's backing up Corbett? And like, if you look at Corbett's dead cap, and you look at his roster bonus next year, I just think they're going to move off of him. So if it were me, I think it's going to be center. That's going to be the priority. And with wide receiver and edge being the second tier priority.
So you brought up an interesting thing, and JD, I was going to ask you about this, but I'll go ahead and get into it now. Linebacker is a position that a lot of people have touched on. And JD, you made a post where you talked about the things you like, but then you also probably upset a huge demographic of Panthers fans that also happened to be, you know, alumni from that school in Raleigh. Peyton Wilson is a fairly polarizing prospect, man, because like, a lot of people want to compare him to Luke Kuechly. I don't necessarily think that that's a very true thing or a fair thing to do for Peyton Wilson. I never really want to comp somebody to a GOAT at a position. And Luke Kuechly, man, look, he had an abridged career, but he was an absolute baller from the minute that his cleats touched the field. What is it about Peyton Wilson that you like, and what is it about him that gives you some serious pause?
One of the main things that I like about him is the mentality, the dog. He's a true blue dog. Like, that shows up on film. Finishing plays, all that good stuff. Rangy, very rangy linebacker. And maybe that's where some of the Luke comparisons come in. Sure. The range and the feel for zone coverage. The eyes, and I don't think there's another linebacker in this class that has as much ball production as Peyton Wilson does.
Yeah.
So,
especially not the premier guys, right? Like, Junior Colson is a terrific Mike linebacker, but I don't think he had a single interception in his career, right?
And some of those other guys will offer a little bit more balance to their game, where Peyton Wilson is a rangy, playing space kind of guy. They'll be able to, okay, engage blockers, disengage. Peyton Wilson is not great at that. And Panthers fans will be quick to say, okay, he likes to play in space. You can move him, blitz him, and you can have him in coverage. He's like a Luvu type.
Right.
I would pause on that as well. Luvu went straight through blockers' face masks.
Yeah.
on often occasions,
right,
and made the play. And Peyton Wilson is just not that type of guy. I think the fit for us, though, I do think it is a fit because of the style of defense Evera plays. If you can get him in a defense to where you're single gapping it and you're just flying to the football, that'll be a great fit for him. And that's why the subsequent call, which was related to the Peyton Wilson post. If we can get the interior defensive line together, mm-hmm, and then you start adding more pieces there to where they'll worry about the two gap and our linebackers can just fly downhill, play fast.
Right.
That's a great fit for Peyton Wilson. So there's some aspects to his game. Obviously the injury and the injury history in that is something to think about too. But I like Peyton Wilson. I think he's a fit.
Man, he's had 12 surgeries since high school, something like that, 11 or 12.
Two ACLs.
It's on the same knee too, right? It's on the right knee, I think.
Yeah.
And then he's had shoulder surgery, complication from those shoulder surgeries. And that's where I get a little bit of pause. And I like Peyton Wilson. He's my linebacker three. Mm-hmm. I like him. I just don't know what range I would be comfortable taking that risk on. That's where I'm having a really hard time. He grades out as like a late two for me.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would, I don't think I would spend 39 on him. I think that I'm a little bit too nervous about the injury history and the wear and tear of a guy that doesn't have the most bulk or mass to his frame, right? I'd be a little bit nervous about those shoulders going in there against those big guys in the NFL. What do you think his realistic range is for finding value in selecting him?
I would be more confident in using one of the first two picks on him if we did have a guy that can two gap in, and we get A'shaun Robinson, but I'll go back to his snap share and he's, you know, playing three tech and one tech more than he is playing nose. So if you ask him to two gap, that's not something he's done a lot in his career.
Like asking Shy Tuttle to do it.
Right. So I would be more for it if we actually had an answer there. I would say, if you're looking at 39 and you trade back from 39, mm-hmm, I would say around pick 55. That's when you'll start to get into that range for him to start going.
Okay. I think that's fair. All right. So look, what I would love to do now, if you guys are into it, we've done a little bit of prospect talk. What we've done with all of our guests lately, and JD, this may actually play in well because I think that you have a giveaway going around right now. And I think that it has something to do with mock drafts. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. You guys can win you some Panthers damn merch. You know what I'm saying? Brand new merch.
Now, did you do the designs yourself too?
Yes, yes, that is my handiwork indeed. Yes,
multi-talented JD of the Four Man Rush. Look at that!
Oh, not to my own horn, but beep.
So, what do you guys think about throwing together a quick little mock draft, Four Man Rush and Bow Body Show mock draft?
Let's do it, man.
All right, let's do it. We will use the same mock draft simulator. We'll do the Pro Football Network. And let's get straight to it. Alex loves these things, by the way. I can't tell you how many times I get texts from him, and he's like, I can't stand these mock drafts. I cannot see one more mock draft.
I'm really good at them, too. I'm getting better now.
My thing is, though, man, like, I really like the idea of getting an idea. And look, all this shit is on the internet. It's not necessarily overly realistic. We don't know what any of the NFL teams value and what they like. But it's a really fun exercise to kind of get an idea of where you could go. Even if it's not the players, the positions that you're taking at these draft selections is a fun way to look at roster building, in my opinion. All right.
So yeah, ever since I said Sam Darnold was the best player in that draft, I just stopped doing it.
Oh, I didn't know you said that, man. If I'd have known that you said some shit like that, I don't know that we'd be doing this podcast.
I was dead.
I still think that he's very talented. I think he just
Yes. Yeah, okay. We got a trade offer here if we want to look at this. Pick 33 for 56, 174, and next year's second for the Cowboys. I'm passing on that. I need something more than 56, I think. 48 in a second for Jacksonville. Does that make you interested at all?
I'm seeing who's on the board, and I'm kind of like, yeah, you kind of got to pick, man.
Okay. Here we go.
Kind of have to pick.
You got Jackson Powers Johnson, Xavier Worthy, and Keon Coleman, and Darius Robinson, and Ladd McConkey. All right. Fellas, I'm going to just go ahead and leave this up to you right now. Let me get some initial thoughts. What are you leaning here? Do you want to see any other positions? Do you want me to go through and...
I think that seeing Jackson Powers there is, it's almost, to me, that's a given. Like, you know, you run to the podium and make sure that you got the biggest steal in the draft right there. Because, yeah, and you know, just I say to appoint this, Canales, the first thing he did when he started his free agent signings was go get a free agent or a franchise guard.
Right.
Get your franchise center, and finish the rebuild up front. So I'm going Jackson Powers, bro. That gets my vote.
I am going to play devil's advocate here because I think there's a valid point to go look at another option here.
Okay.
Brother Ricky, if you would go to the centers that are on the board right now.
Sure.
It should be all of them.
Yeah, you got JPJ, Zach Frazier, Cedric Van Pran. Now, the only guy that I believe is off is Graham Barton, who is a guard or center prospect, depending on how you like your coffee in the morning.
Okay, so... In my head, I don't disagree, and honestly, if I was doing this mock draft by myself, I probably would take JPJ. I'm thinking going Xavier Worthy here for a couple reasons.
There we go.
I'm going to say for three reasons. One, obviously, he's angle breaking speed. We need that field stretcher on the field at all times. Home run hitter, we need that. We haven't had that since Ted Ginn. That's something we have to add back. Second reason why I would say that's a valid selection is because I have four other guys that are centers on the board that are immediately starters, in my opinion. Look at Tanner Bordellini down there.
That's my guy. You know I like Tanner.
I like Cedric Van Pran still. Zach Frazier still there. So even if we do pass on him, we have to come around to him at 39 or even 65. If we get down there and Bo Limmer and Tanner Bordellini are there, They're still, even if they're not starting immediately, they're still long-term starters at the center position. So, in my opinion, there's only one Xavier Worthy in the class. I'm not saying that just because he's the fastest guy in the history of the combine. Right. He is an angle breaker, home run hitter type wide receiver. And you have some of that with the other guys, but I'm looking for an every down type threat.
So let me ask you this then, JD, because I don't necessarily, at this point, I don't think there's a bad pick, you know, because I would be all in with Worthy, just like I would all be with JPJ. So my question to you all, and I, and Ricky, and, you know, and you all actually, you know, adding your opinion, would Troy Franklin at 39 not be, you know, something that you'd be entertaining and still getting a franchise center? Because I'm not saying that he, you know, Worthy and Troy Franklin are the same player, but when you talk about just game-breaking speed, you know, guys that can take the, you know, completely change the defense or a game plan of a defense with their speed, I think Troy Franklin, you know, brings a lot of those same things. You can move him in at the slot. You can move him outside, you know, so you can play your X, you can play your Z. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I feel like that Troy Franklin can offer at 39, and there's still a lot of value there and still get you a franchise center as well. So that's kind of my thought process there. But again, I don't think there's a wrong pick, you know, here.
I think it's such an interesting dynamic because, Monty, I agree with you entirely, and JD, I agree with you entirely. I have long been an advocate of JPJ and Xavier Worthy. Like, those are two guys that, from an early standpoint, I have been very high on. I kind of had relegated myself to believing that JPJ was out of reach for us. Mm-hmm. There's a stat that I love, man, that I went and did research and came up with it. And it's that, like, I believe there have been 11 centers that have been drafted since 2006 in the first round that have actually, like, played center after being drafted for that position. And 10 of them have made all pro or pro bowls. So 10 out of 11 have hit at a exponential clip. I'm not saying that you can't find that answer later. I'm saying that when a guy is really, really good and is worth that kind of a investment at that position, a position that is not normally looked at as a position of that value, it tends to work out really well and work out for a good long time.
Yeah.
My concern with the guy, Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman, Ladd, Troy, any of them, I don't view any of them as safe as a guy as JPJ.
Yeah, I agree.
Safe, though, kind of gets a negative connotation when it comes to draft prospects. And I don't think that it should. Like, I want a guy that if I'm going to spend a high value pick on, I want him to hit, and I want him to hit right away. Yeah. I think that's JPJ, but I also feel that way to an extent about Zach Frazier and the likelihood that you could probably get Frazier at 39 and grab Xavier Worthy here, which I agree with JD. There's not another Xavier Worthy. I do think that Troy Franklin presents a lot of the speed factor that Xavier Worthy brings. They are so similarly critiqued, right? Like, for their slight frames, for the drop issues that they've both sustained. And yet they play the position very differently, but have such similar elements. I don't know, man. That's a tough one for me because I really think that you could go Xavier Worthy and Zach Frazier, or you could go JPJ, Troy Franklin.
I think one of the things that I agree with the four-man rush, and part of the reason why I said if I was doing this by myself, I probably would pick JPJ, is because the style of quarterback we have in Bryce Young, the interior is super, super, super important.
Right.
So honestly, I can go either way. Honestly, okay. That's where I'm at.
So here's what I'm thinking. I'm hearing Monty say JPJ. I'm hearing JD saying that if you were doing it yourself, which just act that way, man. Let's do this the way that we can do it.
I want to disagree. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I hear you.
I agree with Worthy, man.
Well, there you go. There's the disagreeing guy.
I'm sick of us doing safe things all the time. Like, play to win the game, right? Like, Worthy has the most upside of any of those guys. He could be the best player in the entire draft. He could be Sky Moore. Who knows? But take a shot. Let's be the Ravens that drafted a receiver four times in a row because they understood.
You think there's any chance that Xavier Worthy falls to 39 though?
I doubt it. I'll give a little pushback there, Alex. I don't think that Worthy has a higher upside than Keon Coleman. I think that now, of course, they play two completely different style of receivers. Sure. So you can make the argument that, you know, Worthy's going to be used completely different than how Keon will be. I think out of all of those receivers left on the board, Keon Coleman is definitely your number one receiver with the highest upside there. Now, there is no, there's no replacing 4.2 speed, you know, and that's kind of the thing, you know, 4.2 speed is kind of ungame planable, you know, again, because you just can't game plan against a guy that can just run straight up, run past you. But, you know, how often are in the NFL are guys just running past each other now? So, I mean, again, I'm all for Worthy. If we went Worthy, I'd be all for it.
Did you lose me?
You were yelling in the abyss over there.
I just heard you
talking about Xavier Worthy and that, you know, played in the game. So for the sake of not spending 30 minutes on the first pick, I think I'm going to go JPJ. I hear you, Alex, on not playing it safe, but I also think that we got Bryce Young. We invested a ton into Bryce Young. DJ Moore plays for the Chicago Bears because we wanted Bryce Young that much. I think that if you surround him with a wall, which I believe that Damian Lewis, Jackson Powers Johnson, and Robert Hunt are a damn wall, I think it could also benefit a guy like Ikem Ekwonu in his development to not have to feel so pressured to be better than everybody next to him, right? Yeah. All right, let's just go for it. Let's go with JPJ and let's see what happens, because I'm willing to bet you Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, Xavier Worthy, one of those three is likely at 39. Let's find out.
Hey, there it is.
Xavier Worthy's still there.
Oh my God. I'm shocked.
Somebody, one of the four of us is living right here, because we just got a beautiful setup here. So is there even any discussion, or you go Xavier Worthy and walk away with a giant smile?
Run the pick to the podium. Yeah, run the pick to the podium.
Yep. Let's go for it. All right, Xavier Worthy, done. So look, man, if you start off a draft like this, if they do this with JPJ and Xavier Worthy and their first two picks, man, everything else is almost icing, right?
Yeah, that's insane.
All right, so here we go.
Believe that.
Interesting situation here. Here's your guy, Peyton Wilson, and he's available at 65. No.
I have a guy already.
Okay, who's your guy?
Let me see who's at corner. Who's at corner?
Let's see.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Kalen Carson, DJ James, I know is a guy that you're high on, right, Monty?
Yeah, I love you. That's a little too rich for me at 65, though. So,
What about Kalen Carson?
Okay, I'm thinking long and hard about Kalen Carson, but I'm thinking pass rusher. You know, so right now we got our staple at center. We have our game changer at wide receiver. Now I got to go rush the quarterback. So that's kind of where I'm thinking now. I'm kind of looking who's at it.
Got Brandon Dorlus, Marshawn Nealon, and Austin Booker are the top three on the consensus board.
I'm gonna pass the 6 to JD because I kind of know who I want.
I'm a Ben Sinnott guy. That's who I am. And my reasoning behind it is I want to make life easy for Bryce and give him as many soft-handed guys that can also run blocks, so it's not obvious what we're doing when they're out there. That would probably be my first pick. I'm looking at Chris Jenkins as another interior defensive
player,
essentially.
Yeah.
I'm not considering my guy Peyton Wilson just because those two guys are there right now.
Right. So look, I'm a huge Ben Sinnott fan, and I also think that what you do is if you go and you get Xavier Worthy and you bring that dynamic home run speed element to the offense, you miss out on Keon Coleman, right? Which is the big body. Mm-hmm. But if you can bring in a guy like Ben Sinnott, I mean, just because he plays tight end, man, we saw what Sam Laporta could do for an offense, right? And that was an offense that had Amon-Ra St. Brown, that had Jameson Williams, that had Josh Reynolds and Ben Johnson being creative and, you know, innovative with his offense. What's to say that Ben Sinnott can't? I mean, look, we saw what Dave Canales did with Cade Otton. You're telling me that Ben Sinnott doesn't come across as a better prospect than Cade Otton?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but I don't think Canales' offense really features the tight end as much as,
yeah.
You know, and that's kind of one bit. That's honestly why I feel like you stick with Trimble and Ian Thomas over the offseason. I feel like, well, that's one thing, one big reason why they didn't prioritize getting another tight end in here, or at least in free agency, you know, because I feel like they do believe in those tight ends. But I believe Canales doesn't really feature the tight end that often. For me, I'm probably out of seeing who's on the board, I'm probably going Chris Jenkins. Yeah, I think that kind of that's going to be your long term answer, you know, in that interior pass rush as well. But yeah, I would be all in for a tight end as well. Yeah, I've been banging the drum for a brand new tight end as well.
Can we see who else is at the tight end room real quick?
For sure.
I just want to see.
Just while we're looking, I probably would go Nealon here, but him and Sinnott are really close for me.
I like Marshawn Nealon a lot too. And a thing that I try to do, or, you know, and Edgar Salmingo Jr. was on here and he made a great point about when we're doing these mock draft exercises, it is fun to kind of put an emphasis on players that have met with the Panthers and the Panthers have shown interest on, right? Because like that's a more realistic view of what could be a potential fit. But looking at these other tight ends, Jatavion Sanders is somebody that most people have as their tight end too. Cade Stover, Theo Johnson is a guy that is rapidly rising up draft boards, I think. And even Jared Wiley to an extent. All of those guys, I think, have really started to gain some traction.
Yeah, I really like the tight end class. I think Jaheim Bell is another guy, you know, the old South Carolina prospect. And I think he's going to be another sleeper. I'm probably going to pass on tight end to a later round. And I have a reason for that. You know, later round tight ends usually hit. You know, your fifth round tight ends are a lot of guys that usually hit. You know what I mean? Of course, there's always going to be, you know, all factors. But tight end, running backs, those are kind of positions that I prioritize in, you know, day three. I think right now, just with so many other talented players on the board, I'm kind of out on tight end. That's just me personally, though.
That's fair.
Okay, so has Monty talked everybody off the tight end ledge then for this pick?
We can double back and try to get Jared Wiley down the board. Okay.
So then Monty has brought up Chris Jenkins. Mm-hmm. Is there any other prospect? Braden Fisk is a guy that when you look at... Now, I think Chris Jenkins is a better athlete, and I think he probably has like a better ceiling, if you will, than Braden Fisk. I don't think that anybody on the defensive side has a better motor than Braden Fisk in this draft. I mean, this is a relentless dude and his pass rush from the interior. And I think he's got a little bit of versatility, right? He's got short arms though. And I think that's going to limit him probably to that interior. I think that he would struggle outside the tackle. What do you think? Is Chris Jenkins then the guy that makes the most sense here?
I honestly think we trade back at this pick, but that's fine with me.
Yeah, I think trade back is a great. That probably would be a great, you know, a great idea as well.
So you've got Cincinnati is offering pick 80 and 97 for 65 and a fifth of next year's fifth, which is one of the things that we got for Brian Burns, I believe.
I'd do that.
The other offer is 66, and we pick up a fourth next year to go back one.
Oh, I definitely do that.
Yeah, move back one pick. Get a.
But would you do that and risk not getting 80 and 97?
I think I'd rather have 80 and 97 with what's on the board, me personally.
See, 80 is that's what, 15 picks? That's kind 15 of a big picks. Jump. Yeah,
but if you did,
it's huge too, though. So you know, I probably would be back. Cool.
If you did 80 and 97, here's what this would look like. You would have 33, 39 already done. Then you would have 80, 97, and 101 all within that range where you could get three top 100 picks, basically. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fuck it, do it.
And you can use those to trade up if, like, your guys start falling off the board.
I'm with it.
So 80 and 97, you guys want to take that one?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's go for it. All right, then let's see. Let's go to all the draft results. So Marshawn Nealon is still there. That's interesting. I do think that Marshawn Nealon, Ben Sinnott goes at 76 there. Let's see where Chris Jenkins went. Oh, he went at 65. They traded up for him.
Yeah, right. I'm probably Nealon here. Yeah, I think that's a good pick.
I think that Nealon fits a lot of what Evero seems to prioritize too, mm-hmm. with his edge rushers, right?
Yeah.
Like he's a good run defender. He's a big physical guy. He wins with power, but he's also got a motor to him too. And I think he's going to be better in the pros and offer more as in a way of a pass rush than what he offered at Western Michigan.
Right.
So Marshawn Nealon, we'll start with. Or wait, let's see what the cornerback room is.
Is Fiskoff
Chris Abrams Drain, DJ James still there at 80?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go DJ James at 90. You know, if DJ James is still there, that pick, you know, the extra pick we picked up, that's probably where I'm going.
And you got Mike Sainer still too in there. I like him a lot. All right, so let's go Marshawn Nealon.
Yeah.
So you got Andrew Phillips, mm-hmm. Kyrie Jackson, Cam Hart in way of cornerback, Kalen King. I'm not a huge Kalen King guy. If somebody wants to talk me into him, I'm listening. Cade Stover, Theo Johnson, Jared Wiley, but we also remember we still have pick 101. So we've got we've got three picks in between. We'll be able to land one of them, I think. Mm-hmm. Could look at running back. Is there any position that you guys would want to look at here?
Bucky Irvin's still sitting there, fellas. We're talking about adding speed. You got Worthy mm-hmm. outside. Bucky Irvin is the perfect complement to your Chuba Hubbard running back room. So I'm looking long and hard at Bucky Irvin right now. I mean, I don't know if y'all seen this tape from Oregon, but he is a monster, you know, as a running back, man.
JD, your thoughts, or Alex, your thoughts on Bucky Irvin?
I think we're gonna draft a running back at some point.
Yeah, you've said that.
Yeah, and I think that this is where probably the running back starts to drop off, so I'm definitely okay with that.
I'm a Ray Davis guy.
Me too. I like Jalen Wright a little bit too, mm-hmm. and Blake Corum, honestly.
We in running back territory now, so I mean
we are.
I like Bucky Irvin. I'm a Jalen Wright guy. What I want, my dream at running back is adding a home run speed type threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a threat out the backfield. I think Bucky Irvin gives you some wiggle and things too. So I'm, if you wanted to go Bucky Irvin, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Part of me is going to miss Ray Davis. And
man, me too. I'm going to miss Ray Davis. I'm going to miss Jalen Wright. I mean, I have them ranked personally higher. I've got Bucky a little bit lower. But I like what Bucky brings as a receiving compliment out of the backfield almost as much as anybody else in this draft. Sure. And if you get him in space, I think that he's lethal. I just think that it's getting him that runway, I think, is part that you would have to do. But you know what? We just invested in JPJ with pick 33, and we've got Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis. So, yeah, it makes sense. All right, let's go Bucky Irving. The hell with it. All right, there's Bucky. This was another name, JD, that you and I had talked about, and I thought about bringing him up here, was McKinley Jackson. Yeah. Talk about what it would do to have that true zero technique on our defensive front. That could have been a pick that we looked at there at 97. Still have Dwayne Carter, interior defensive lineman from Duke. Do we want to look at tight ends here? Kate Stover, Theo Johnson still. I do like what Theo Johnson would bring to the offense. It's just more projection-based, right?
Yeah.
Like I don't know how to anticipate what he is outside of the red zone in an NFL offense.
I get Mike Gesicki vibes from him.
A little bit, right? And it's not just the helmet, right? But it's the play style. Like he's a great athlete, but I just don't know that he's much more than that rebounder in the red zone.
I don't really see him as an inline guy. And it's not just, like you said, it's not just the school they went to. It's really just mm-hmm. play style and what they do. I was going to say Austin Booker is a pass rusher.
Kind of young guy, 21 years old, too. He's still kind of scratching the surface there, right?
Who do we have at receiver?
That's a good call. Good call.
Ooh. I don't know, guys. You got Thrash there.
Yeah.
Got Malik Washington.
Malik Washington is what I was thinking.
Javon Baker.
This might be your opportunity to double dip at receiver. I mean, because you still need a big, you know, I still think you need a red zone weapon. You know, I'm not a big fan of Trimble, not a big fan of, you know, Ian Thomas. And those are kind of your only real options as a, you know, red zone threat, especially as a jump ball guy. I'm probably going receiver here. I'm probably going Malik Washington.
But is Malik Washington a jump ball guy?
No, he's not your jump ball guy. I'm just. If we're gonna go small, if we're gonna go smaller speed guys,
right.
let's commit. And you know, and I'm going Malik. Yeah, I'm just going with the talent there.
You go that like Dolphins route almost of just like fill him with speed, right?
We just spread him out. Yeah,
Just as a quick aside, because I talked to Dunk about this, are we just completely out on Marshall? Is he just done?
Terrace?
Yeah.
It's really hard, man. It'll be year four for him, and he'll be on his third coaching change. So it's like it's not fair for him, but it's hard to say he'll, because we're already talking about double dipping on receivers. So if you draft two receivers, we've already signed a receiver in free agency. Yeah. That's three. You already got a guy from last year. That's four. Yeah. You got Thielen. That's five. You got to think about it. There's probably one or two positions left. I think.
And you signed Amir Smith. You signed him.
Amir Smith Marcet for the as a return man. So that's
They signed the kid out of Seattle too.
David Moore. That's right. Yep. I forgot about David Moore. I keep forgetting. Yep. So yeah, man, I just think he's going to be the odd man out. To be honest, I think David Moore will probably be a free agency cut or camp cut.
Right.
I don't see us keeping seven receivers. Even if you keep seven, I don't think Terrace Marshall makes the seventh man. That's kind of the sad thing. But yeah, he's been here too long. You haven't seen enough on film to justify keeping him on his fourth head coach. I mean, on his third head coach now. I think he's kind of done, man.
And Canales already kind of like paved that way too. Of the whole like, look, I don't have sentimental ties to anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And I think that he's just telling people, look, fans have sentimental favorites, right? Because I was a Terrace Marshall fan last year. I thought that he was going to take that step. We talked
about it. Yeah, we both were.
And you know what? He looked good in camp. Yeah. But a lot of guys look good in camp. What they do on the practice field and what they do on the game field changes a coach's mind.
Yeah.
And they saw enough to say, hey, look, we weren't confident in that. I still think that he got a raw deal last year. I think that entire offense was just completely mishandled.
Yeah.
But at some point, you got to sit there and say, we're not going to bank on Terrace Marshall anymore.
Yeah, and right. I think, dude, just to have one touchdown in three seasons is a huge black eye, dude. It's like, especially when you have young guys that are coming in and setting records like Puka. You got young guys that are coming in their rookie season and setting the NFL records. It's kind of hard to justify keeping Terrace Marshall.
Right. So, all right, so let's go receiver here. I'm on board with that because I like getting two receivers out of this draft, and I think this is a great position to do so. My question is, do you go with Malik Washington and stay on that fast train? Mm-hmm. There's also a guy that I really like with Brendan Rice and Javon Baker. Yeah. I like both of them a lot, and I think that when you talk about Javon Baker makes a ton of sense when you talk about like even being able to still play in that quick pass game because of his route running ability. Right. I think that he's a really nuanced technical route runner. He's not a blazer. He's not going to beat you with speed. But if you watch his tape, man, he's behind his defender a lot. And it's created by his footwork on stems and on his release, right? I think that I would really consider Javon Baker there. I also think that Brendan Rice makes a ton of sense. Johnny Wilson kind of gets overlooked. I just don't know how comfortable I am with Johnny Wilson. Mm-hmm. He's got all the talent in the world. But he never put it all together. So, do we bank on somebody that never put it all together?
Yeah, I'm not a big Johnny Wilson fan. I agree with you with Javon Baker. I totally didn't even see him down there. Yeah, I'm probably might change my pick to Javon Baker.
Because Javon Baker and Xavier Worthy is a really nice complementary skill set to go with Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And you still got ISM there if you want to kill people with speed and you have Xavier Worthy and ISM out there at the same time with Deontay Johnson, right? So we like Javon Baker here?
Yeah, give me Javon Baker.
I'm a Javon guy. I'm surprised they got him so low.
Yeah, I don't think that he's going to go in that 140 range. Like I would go 101 here and think that we got him as a steal, to be honest. Yeah. Let's do it. Javon Baker. All right, so let's look at our first four or five picks. JPJ, Xavier Worthy, Marshawn Neal, and Bucky Irving, and Javon Baker.
Huge.
I'm not mad at that one bit. And now we got back-to-back picks here, 141 and 142.
Back-to-back.
Oh, right, we got a guy, Javon Solomon, fellas.
Yes, sir. I
like Javon Solomon too.
Yeah, that's definitely a guy I'm looking for as a developmental pass rusher that I think can fill that Frankie Louvu role. That's kind of a guy I'm really I'm probably
just a chaos guy off that edge. Yeah,
absolutely, and dude, he is every bit of definition of what Dan Morgan considers a dog. Gets there, and when he gets there, bro, he comes with an attitude.
Well, look, all three of us just sat there, and the minute that you said Javon Solomon, everyone just said, oh, yeah. So I think that's, we got two picks back to back. Let's just go Javon Solomon there, right?
Let's do it.
All right. So we got Javon. I'm not going to take a trade at this point because, I mean, look, let's just get the best players available. Once you get out of this top 150 of this draft, that talent does start to drop. Yeah. So I would just take all the pictures or all the guys that we can get right here. One name that I saw when I was just going through this, Jordan Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Talk about a possible nose tackle, right? I think that the Panthers have met with Jordan Jefferson. So, I mean, there is some interest there, but are you allocating too much to the defensive front here if we were to do that?
Me as a defensive guy, I don't think it's right. too much.
Right.
It's kind of we're in a weird position this year, man, because, you know, I know that Canales is going to be sold on trying to give Bryce every available option that he has on offense. So this probably where I'd go tight end. Like Jaheim Bell, you know the guy from Florida State in South Carolina. I think he's a stud. He kind of is that fullback tight end role that I think that we're desperately missing. But yeah, if we went defensive end, you know, and fully went into to rebuild that defensive line, bro, I'm all for it, you know, and I think that we have a lot more holes on the defensive side that we're not addressing that's going to show his head here, you know, when the season comes. So yeah, I'm all for, you know, rebuilding the defensive line.
Well, and so we never found a corner in this one. And Elijah Jones is somebody that's sitting there that I always really like around this range. I think that Elijah has potential to develop into a pretty impactful player. I don't know that he's ever going to be your corner one or potentially even corner two, maybe though, but I think that he's got some physical skill set that would really benefit what Evero likes. The other person, when you talk about Jaheim Bell, Monty, I want to get your take on this because you like him. I like what he does when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
I'm not as confident about the process of getting it to him with his route running.
He's not a great route runner. Worries me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's not a great route runner, and you know, and that's why I kind of look at him as kind of more of a fullback tight end.
Yeah.
Kind of that hybrid role, because you know he's not going to beat you. You know, he's not going to be a separator downfield. Even running, you know, the seam downfield, I feel like he's not great at. Now that being said, like you said, once you get the balls in his hand, he's a bowling ball dude, and he really honestly reminds me of Mike Tolbert. You know, and he kind of feels that Mike Tolbert role, and I think that's kind of one thing that we've missed. Desperately, you know, going away from the fullback, that I think that will be, you know, something that you can add to that offense. But yeah, you know, if we didn't go tight end, I'm probably going, you know, either safety or you know, defensive line.
JD, thoughts?
I might be good on tight end. I think I missed my guys that I was looking for. I like Dallin Hoker. He's not a great athlete. Didn't test very well, but a gamer. Tip Ryman set the combine fire.
He's getting a ton of love right now.
Yeah, he was probably the talk of the whole combine section when he was doing field drills and things. But
so you get Eric All in there, and Eric All is one of those Iowa tight ends. He just had that back injury, man. So like he hasn't been seen played for a long time. But Eric All is a pretty talented guy.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys to be. To be selected at that position, I might just go in a different direction.
So, which way do you like?
It's tough to look at Jordan Jefferson and pass over him. I'm a Bo Limmer guy. I know we took JPJ earlier, but if we didn't, I probably would be falling over myself trying to get him.
What about the possibility of going an offensive tackle like Javon Foster here as a backup for Icky?
I'm surprised Javon Foster isn't getting more love. He was a solid tackle down there in Mobile.
Yeah, he had some really impressive stuff down there.
I'm kind of perplexed in how he's not being spoken of more highly. I know some people have him sliding inside. I think he stays outside.
Yeah,
that's a potential selection. I'm probably going to lean defensive lineman, though, even though we just took like three of them.
Right.
I want to get our linebackers in a spot to where they don't have to hand fight if they don't need to.
Well, and we haven't added like a big mass guy up front, right? Like we've got Marshawn Nealon and Javon Solomon, but I mean, a guy like Jordan Jefferson could benefit both of them too.
For sure.
But do we like Jordan Jefferson here? I know, Monty, I know you want to go Jaheim Bell, and I'm not opposed to that.
Oh, no, Jefferson, I'm 100% all, like I said, I'm... Jaheim Bell is kind of like, you know, again, you can get him on the late round. For him to be here this late, I mean, you know, I'm still confident that if we don't get him this round, that he still could potentially be there next, you know. So I mean, that's not something I'm sold on. So yeah, well, I'm all for you know, either defensive line or, you know, whatever pick y'all actually pick there.
All right, let's go Jordan Jefferson. Alex, you good with that?
Sure.
I know these late round picks don't.
Alex said these are pennies, man. We're talking pennies
now. Right.
I just haven't gotten that far yet. I thought I was good enough to like get to like 120.
It is good though, man. This is it's an extensive thing, man. All right, so here we go. Pick 240. This is your dart throw, right? What do you typically look at here when you're looking at pick 240? Because I know all of us have done a bunch of these mock drafts. Is there a position that you look at here?
At this point, these are special team guys. These are guys that are maybe not even make the roster. So I kind of go linebacker or corner, because those are going to be your guys that's going to play special teams. It's going to, let's fill that special team need. So I probably go linebacker or corner.
Yeah, or safety. I'm with you.
Ryan Watts is a guy for Texas that is getting a little bit of love right now because of his unique physical profile. I think he could be a special teams contributor. Millard Bradford is another guy I think that would be a nice special teams contributor right away. JD, what do you think? You got any thoughts here?
I generally go towards guys. This is where I kind of differ from how we've handled drafts in the past. I err to have the athletes at the back end. So at the end of the draft, if I see a guy who has a great profile, I generally lean to select those guys and hope that they can become special teams guys. So
Thomas Oliver type of pick.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking for down here. So I'm thinking Ryan Watts. I'm thinking Jalen Simpson is kind of small, but he covers a lot of ground and he moves pretty well. So, I'll probably go for a guy like Ryan Watts or a corner or a linebacker.
Somebody. Why don't we finish it up with Ryan Watts? Let's go with a math bomb RES guy. All right, so let's take a look at this haul, and then we'll post this and let everybody ridicule it. Actually, you know what, though, man? I don't think that there's a whole lot that you could argue with here. I like the haul that we came away with bolstering the center position, Xavier Worthy and Jackson Powers Johnson, whatever way you went, 33 or 39. That's a hell of a first couple
of selections. I think adding Bucky Irving, Javon Baker, Worthy, and JPJ to our offense, bro, I'd be talking about division champs at this point if we got that kind of haul. So I would be very excited about this draft.
Yeah, I don't see it. Those are that's wild that all of those guys dropped.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, man. You got to take all this with a grain of salt. I'm not saying that it's a realistic thing, but this is what the simulator gives us, right? You take it and you try to make the best out of it. But how do we know that there's not a little bit of trepidation when it comes to JPJ with his medicals or Xavier Worthy with his frame? Maybe there is enough hangup with some of these other guys on the board, like Keon Coleman, Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey. Maybe other teams just really like what they bring right away.
I can tell you right now, Ladd McConkey's probably going in the first round.
Oh yeah, I agree. I love Keon Coleman. I like Worthy better, so it would have been a slam dunk for me for Keon Coleman. I cannot believe that Worthy dropped though. So I just have to take it because
I don't know if Ladd goes in the first though. JD, I think now he's become he's starting to grow on me a lot more than where if we went 33 or if we went Ladd McConkey 33, I'd be all for it. I just don't know if he's going to sneak into the first.
I think. In my head, right, I see Ladd going to like KC, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, how did y'all let this happen?"
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey has turned receiver and now plays.
Right.
Yeah, there's gonna be a run. It all depends when the run starts. Who's gonna start the run?
That's right.
So if it starts in 19, then we're like, "Oh shit!" Like we don't have a receiver coming to us. But if it starts at 33, we start it. Then it falls.
I think that's a hell of a mock draft. I'm excited to see what other people think about it. Look, we've been on this for a while, so I'm gonna get you guys out of here with a quick round of a game that we play here on the Bow Body Show. Which one? It's gonna start off with a couple of pop culture relevant questions because of conversations that we've seen recently. And JD, you were in this first question. Which fries? You got the Wendy's or the Bojangles?
Wendy's by far.
Don't embarrass me, JD.
Wendy's by far. It's not even close.
There's a distinction. That's the yellow box Wendy's, too.
Yellow box Wendy's is the GOAT. No question. Bojangles, they've mastered the craft of being able to taste fresh and stale at the same time. I don't understand it.
That's about it.
Drowning it in seasoning salt.
Monty is not pleased with what you're saying here.
Not salt at all.
There's things I want to say to him that I can't say online right now or say live right now. But that's 100% the wrong opinion. I'm just letting you know there.
So I would go to North Carolina 10 years ago, whenever I go back to Bojangles, it ain't the same Bojangles it was 10 years ago. So I'm definitely 10 years ago, Bojangles, though.
I'm going to be the weird guy, too, and say, what about the bow rounds from Bojangles? Like, I don't always
have
Now we have a conversation, because
look, you get a perfectly crisp bow round. Like, don't give me the soggy ones that have been stuck to each other all day. You give me one of the perfectly crisp bow rounds. That motherfucker is incredible.
Bro, it'll change your day. It'll really change your day.
Thank you, man. That shit eats like a meal. Like, you feel like you're at a damn hotel, continental breakfast. All right, next question. Now, this one I came up with before there was an apology. Which rapper, Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole?
Man, see, I'm a diehard J. Cole fan, so I'm probably going to lean J. Cole.
Yeah,
but it's hard to bet against Kendrick, man. Kendrick is, you know, he's such an iconic artist. So, you know, has some songs that we're going to be talking about here for the next 20 years. You know, I think that's how great an artist Kendrick is. But, you know, I'm going with the Carolina boy. I'm going with the guy that, you know, that's got me through high school. I'm going with J. Cole.
I'm with that. I will say, too, Monty, I saw you say something about album mode. Are you recording again, man?
I'm dibbling and dabbling. I may be onto something. I am 100% a retired rapper. You know, I have, of course, guys, most of my buddies, they either still do music or, you know, they do some form of music. So, you know, I always kind of get the urge to just kind of drop a freestyle here and there. But, you know, I might give a song or two here or there, but I'm retired, man. Definitely retired.
Okay. Well, you know, Jay-Z retired at some point too, right? And he's put out some good music. So,
If I had Jay-Z's bank account, that might be a little different.
No shit. Life's a little different there.
I won't answer this question, by the way. I'm playing the fifth on this one.
I'm going Cole there, man. And I love Kendrick. I agree 100% with what Monty said. But I'm J. Cole, man. Like, the minute that he came out, right, from Fayetteville, and you had to come up to warm up Friday Night Lights. I mean, that shit was a soundtrack to my life for that period of time.
Come up and warm up were like high school gospel songs.
And
like,
incredible stuff. Yep. Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
It 100% got me through senior year in high school. Yep. Yeah, I'm definitely going J. Cole.
Yep. JD, you got an answer here?
Cole.
All right, cool. Let's go for it. Next. Who has the better season, Miles Sanders or Jonathan Mingo?
Mingo by far. I think it's Mingo by far.
I don't even think Miles is going to be here, honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll be presencing Miles here next year.
I'm sort of on that trade, too. I think Miles is an easy cut candidate.
Okay, if you cut him, yeah. I was going to say, I don't know who's going to want him, so you're going to have to.
So what if I were to swap that out? What if I were to say Tommy Tremble or Jonathan Mingo?
I think it's Mingo.
I'm still going Mingo. I'm not sold on the tight end room. Of course, Rick, you know, I've never been really sold on Tremble.
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards Mingo.
We do this every year with Tremble, I feel like. I mean, he shows flashes and we get excited about him. And
the reason why I would say Tremble in that situation, though, is because we're expecting to draft two receivers automatically.
Right.
And what that does to Jonathan Mingo, depending on what type of receiver you draft,
correct,
push him down to wide receiver 4 or 5.
And how do we know that when Canales was talking about not having sentimental value, how do we know he's not talking about Jonathan Mingo?
That's true.
I mean, there's a possibility that he could have seen what he saw from Mingo last year, seeing the tape, comes in here and watches him and says, look, man, I'll give you a chance. I'm not going to Terrace Marshall you. I'm not going to let you sit on the bench for 3 years. You were a second round pick. I'll give you an opportunity somewhere else. Go for it, man, because you're not going to play here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't think that that's necessarily how he would look at it, though, to be completely honest. I think he can look at Jonathan Mingo and say it's almost like a bonus draft pick for him this year because Mingo did nothing last year with no development, and he's going to look at him and say, what can I mold him into?
Yep. And that's kind of where I think there's just more left on the bone for Mingo than there is Sherman.
Sure.
I think there's more that you can develop. You know, there's one, I think Mingo just has a higher ceiling than Tremble. And I think there's just more to develop with Mingo. He's younger. You know, you have more time with him on a rookie deal than you do with Tremble. And to be honest, I think when you look at the films, like, Mingo flashes in a lot of different ways. I mean, of course, everybody knows I'm a huge Bryce Young fan, but there are you know, there's some film out there where Bryce has definitely missed Mingo.
That's correct. Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. He definitely had, you know, 200 more yards and two touchdowns.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm still kind of leaning Mingo.
Yeah, and Mingo, I mean, Mingo is, as far as athlete-wise, is kind of comparable to Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin sucked beginning of the year last year. And
yeah.
Kind of figured out how to use him. So I don't know if that's a, I can't use a guy like this, or I figured it out. So that's going to be the.
Canales had to do a lot of calibrating with that Tampa Bay offense to begin with, man. Even the run game, like, they weren't sturdy with that run game at the beginning of the year. And then Rashad White really started to turn it up when they started kind of finding their groove in their pocket. So, I mean, that just may be something that he does this year, too, where he's like, look, I'm going to experiment, kind of play around and figure out what I have here. And then once he gets into a groove, maybe Mingo is one of his guys that he likes a whole lot.
It's hard to let talent go, like, especially the second year.
Yep. All right. This one is like an impossible one. And I actually felt kind of like wrong even asking it. But I'm curious, which Super Bowl outcome would you change? The 2003-2004 loss to the Patriots or the 2015-2016 loss to the Broncos?
15.
Yeah, 15 almost broke me, man.
Yeah,
15. 15 was so rough. And I think the two totally different teams, you know, we dominated the entire season, 15.
Correct.
Then just to kind of lose the way we did in Super Bowl was, that was rough, dude. You know, we were kind of like the Cinderella team in 03. You know, we were kind of.
Jake DeLone was the quarterback, for crying
out loud. Yeah, right. Like, we were the team that shouldn't have been there. You know, kind of was a Cinderella team who was happy to be there. But, you know, 2015, I remember going into that Super Bowl Sunday saying, we're coming out with our first championship.
Yeah.
And then leaving, like, it's no way we just fucking lost, man.
My stomach, I feel terrible now just even thinking about that again.
Bro, couldn't watch TV, ESPN for like 3 days.
Couldn't watch for a while, dude. Yeah, no, that's a fact, man.
I still haven't watched it. I haven't watched that game back.
I haven't either. I have not either, man. And I've watched so many replays of Panthers games, especially with Cam Newton, because Cam Newton is just such a remarkable watch. Like, you watch him play football, dude, we'll never see another quarterback play the game of football the way that Cam Newton played it.
No.
And we just wasted it, man. Like, oh,
dude,
whatever.
For real, though. Like, just wasted it. Also, wasted it, dude. My answer is 15-16, because I was there. I had a friend who was like, hey, you can come to the after party. We have, like, a setup, whether it's, like, a Carolina win or a Denver win, like, where you can come, like, meet players. I was like, oh, yes, and in Denver won, and I was like, I'm dumb good. Watching that game live, I still haven't watched it on TV. All these things that people come up to, like Cam didn't jump on the ball, or like the Kotrin catch, all that kind of stuff. It's like all that stuff has been blown so far out of proportion because like they only show these one angles.
Yep.
When Cam was like didn't dive on the ball, he wasn't even close. Nobody even reacted to it. He's like, yeah, he wasn't even close to it. Because like, we saw it from one specific angle. I was around thousands of fans, and everybody's like, oh, well, that sucks. Like, we lost the ball. And then this narrative comes out like a day later. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Like, you're only showing it from this angle where he didn't have a chance. Like, he would have been like, that's how I feel about it. That's just a little rant that I went on. Go ahead, guys.
No, it's fair, though. But Cam came out and said, like, he wishes that he had dough for it or gave more effort there or something like that. But of course he's going to say that, right? Because he's just saying, I wish I'd done more to win. He wanted to win a Super Bowl too.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think that's kind of the only thing, that was the only thing that you kind of can blame Cam for with that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, he played his heart out there. You know, he got sacked 6 times. You can make the argument the refs were freaking terrible, and I still go back to the right before half. You know, it was offsides that you know, Vaughn jumped off that never got called. That was a huge swing, you know, in the momentum there. So there's a lot of different things that you can go back that has nothing to do with Cam that we lost, but because he didn't jump on the fumble, that was what the narrative became. Like, oh, Cam, you just didn't care enough, or you didn't. And that's kind of where it was nonsense, man.
Just two big last things I'll add on to that. One, go look at the right tackle. Like, that field was trash. Like, he couldn't get let. Like, he was sliding. Like, he had good hands on Vaughn a lot of the times. Like, he just slid back. And two, best quarterback season of all time. You can argue with me all day about that. I've never seen a quarterback dominate a season like Cam did that year.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so final question here. Which is more likely, Bryce Young has more passing touchdowns in 2024 than Caleb Williams, or Jadeveon Clowney has more sacks in 2024 than Brian Burns?
That'd be Bryce Young.
Canales yeah, offense, 4,000 like plus yards for everybody who has. I'm going to this
young. Yeah, I'm going Eberflus, Rice.
I'll go Canales over Eberflus.
I'm going to say this. I think what we're not talking about, Brian Burns has went to a perfect system.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yes. Dude, I think Brian Burns is about to have a freaking year.
Ball out.
I will. Yeah.
I haven't said it on Twitter just because I've been trying to be cool. Yeah, I think Brian Burns is going to have, if Brian Burns has a 16 seat, like sack season, would not shock me whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, Monty, if you say it on Twitter, everyone's just going to accuse you of being like in Brian Burns' camp or getting paid to say it or something.
Yeah, the
like
whole Lucy right? thing, the whole, right, yeah, right. That's why I kind of got off it. But yeah. Now, that being said, when the season starts, God forbid Brian Burns has an all-pro season. You know, I'm there going to hate me on Twitter. But
you know what I thought was what I thought was so funny too about that Burns situation, and not funny, sickening and ironic. Was they kept saying that the Panthers would be the only team that would pay that money, right? Or that a team that was really close to a championship would pay that money for Brian Burns. The New York Giants.
And a non-playoff team signed him, bro. Like,
non-playoff team signed him. They had already allocated a ass load of money to Daniel Jones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we gotta be like, oh man, this organization hasn't figured out. Like,
yeah.
To feel bad.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing, bro. It just, I think, is the proof in the pudding. Winning teams or teams that are wanting to compete do winning things. And, you know, and it, whether it be, you know, because the whole argument last year was teams value draft picks. And then you see the NFC championship or the NFC champions just sent the second round pick to go get Christian McCaffrey after not having picks this year. You know, I think what they don't pick till the third round this year, if I'm not mistaken, or obviously over last year. So, you know, that just goes to show that, you know, winning teams do winning things. You know, Chicago, what did they go do? They go get a star receiver. Now they have a quarterback that they're going to pair with a top 10 receiver and a top 15 receiver in Keenan Allen. You know, so yep. I think we're the only team that hasn't figured it out. And that's the
hardest thing. Yeah. Well, one thing I was saying about that, Texans are making their move this year. Based on numbers, because I'm a nerd, we are setting up our move for – Texans set up their move for this year. We're setting up our move for next year, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, man. Look, all we want is progress and development from the young core players that we've got on the team. We want to see good coaching, competent coaching, right? An identity, a culture. And from everything that Canales has said so far, it's the right thing. I'm just using a lot of patience. I want to buy into it, dude. I am ready to just dive, like no parachute, jump out of the fucking plane and be back on that Panthers drug again, but I have to wait, man, because like I predicted 10 wins last year and bought into every single thing that I was sold, and I've never felt more foolish. So going into this year, man, I've already had my trepidations with Dan Morgan. I think that what he's done so far has been pretty solid from a logistical standpoint, like from like a thinking standpoint, it makes sense. The draft is where he's got to make his money, man. Mm. He is going to have to knock this draft out of the park, because if he doesn't, it is going to be an immediate question of like, what did we do by keeping Scott Fitterer's right-hand man in charge?
Yeah. Just real quick on that one. What are the two worst things that, just judging by our free agency and what we wanted to get, what are the two worst things that could happen for Bryce Young? The interior line going down, and we lost Brady Christensen and Corbin.
Right.
So I think last year is kind of, And we didn't give him any weapons. So last year's kind of, I don't really, it sucked, but I can't take too much from that. Especially when the two big problems we had, we solved in free agency.
Yeah, I think last year was a totally worst case scenario, you know, because you don't go into it thinking you're down, you know, because you lost almost your entire starting line at one point besides
Icky Twice.
Basically. Yeah, right. You know, so you're down to your backups at one point.
Right.
Undrafted free agents.
Yeah, you weren't expecting that to happen. You know, you weren't expecting Shaq to go down. Of course, guys, I hate to say it, you weren't expecting JC to be hurt again. You know, so there's a lot of things that went into it last year, on top of the fact that the coaching was just freaking terrible.
Correct.
I think it was just a perfect storm last year.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you, man.
All right, so look, you guys have been incredibly gracious guests. We're at almost an hour and 30 minutes here. I'm going to get it wrapped up here for us, but real quick, I've got a graphic on the screen for JD's Panthers Den mock draft giveaway. JD, talk about this one more time and tell people how they can enter and what they need to do to enter.
Absolutely. So as you see, you know what I'm saying? You get you a free, I'm giving away free, a free backpack, free t-shirt, free phone case, free, tumbler cup. You're doing mock drafts anyway. You might as well submit one over at, on Twitter, on X, formerly known as Twitter. All you have to do is follow my page, Panthers Den 4MR, and also the Four Man Rush official page. You'll post your seven round mock draft that's pinned at the top of my page under the thread. And you'll tag it 4MR Draft Giveaway. One entry per account, so you can't spam it and win. And what we're looking for is the mock draft that has the most players selected by the Panthers in real life. So you have until the end of the draft to submit your mock draft. So if you get you pick Marshawn Nealon, we pick Marshawn Nealon. You pick Xavier Worthy, we pick Xavier Worthy. That's two. So that's how we're I'm grading it. And you got time. So if you want to, you know, you got, it's mock draft season anyway, so you might as well try to win. Full value is about $85. So you get $85 value for free $99. You might as well go ahead.
Just for doing the mock draft that you're already doing anyways.
You're doing it for free anyway. You might as well give it a shot.
Get in there, man. Try to win some of this incredible stuff.
So essentially what he's telling y'all guys is trade back as often as you can and take as many players as you possibly can.
It's true. Yeah.
No, but look, he's got the no trades. But he's got the no trades. Yeah, he's got the clause in there, man.
Yes.
JD, that's what happens if we trade in real life?
Yeah, well, if we trade in real life, then you get another shot at somebody getting picked that you picked. Because I tried it, and I did a trial round with some of my guys in the group chat. They spammed the trades. I was like, So now we're not trading at all.
Yeah. So before we close, just a little thing here. We had our guy Norris in the 4-man. Dog, he probably does a mock draft like once a day. Like literally does mock drafts all day. So it's like we literally spam mock drafts since September to now. So it's funny.
So it's good you brought him up because I've got a graphic up now. And Monty, I'm not sure if you're watching or just listening in. But we've got graphic up now that has everybody's handles. If you want to go through and give the names of the people that have their handles so that everyone is familiar with who everybody is in the 4-man rush, I'll let you take that away.
Yeah, absolutely. And they kind of have their names in the in their handle as well. But at the top, we have my guy Vince. You know, that's that's the guy. Like I said, well, he's our coach. Actually, he's a high school coach there. You have Country Kev. You know, I think everybody kind of knows Kev. Kev was kind of the big
shout out Kev, right, man. Now. I wanted to try to figure out a way to get more than just you and JD on here, but then I started doing the logistics of how many camera screens were going to fit on this thing, and I was like, man, I'm just going to have to ask 4-man Rush to do this by like a 4-episode series, you know?
Yeah, man. It's quite a few of us here. But then you got Country Kev. Your next option you have is Smooth. That's my brother Smooth there. Norris is kind of the logistics guy. You know, he kind of is in the background. He, you know, just crunches numbers. Then you have my, who is gosh? I can't even see who's the next one down here. My boy D. Yeah, that's my boy D. He's actually in Mississippi, so he's more of a kind of a background guy as well. Then the next we have Panthers Den, which is JD, and of course me at the very end.
Monty and JD, man, thank y'all so much for coming on and bearing through the embarrassing start. But I tell you, man, I think that we really all made up for it. The mock draft I thought was perfect. I think this was a really fun thing, and I appreciate y'all coming on and giving a little bit of background about the 4-man rush too, because I'm a giant fan of what you guys do over there. I think it's pretty inspiring, man, and I'm not trying to like just big up you guys because you guys came on here, but I think it's really inspiring to have a passion for a sport and watching it with your friends, wanting to be able to extend knowledge and information to that fan base, but in a very approachable, everyman kind of way. And then taking guys that have experience in coaching, playing, scouting, all of those things, man. I just think y'all do it the right way, man. And I appreciate y'all's content and input here in the Panthers world. And thank y'all very much, man, for your time.
Well, yeah, man, Brick, I really do appreciate you having us over, man. Like I said, it was a pleasure meeting you at camp. Definitely hope to do it again this year for real, man. And again, thank you, for that. You know, we definitely take pride in, and trying to make it a kind of a family oriented thing. So, for sure, we really appreciate you inviting us.
Oh yeah, and I want to add to Ricky and Alex brothers. I am a listener of you guys' stuff. Faithfully, actually. So yeah. over time of work. So Ricky it goes both ways, brother. And I have ton of respect for both of you and how you guys run things here. And Ricky, I've always said, is the Brett Coleman of the Panthers Twitter.
Oh, absolutely. Rick, you are absolutely, you talk about us, but you are goated amongst Panthers Twitter, brother, for sure.
Oh man, I appreciate y'all. And look, one last thing before you get out of here. I will be part of the draft analyst stage for a first round draft party here in Charlotte, North Carolina, held at Ink and Ivy on Thursday night, April 25th. I will be up there with Steve Israel, John Ellis, and Chris Crowley. We'll be talking to former players, Joe Jacoby, 3-time Super Bowl champion for the Washington Redskins. We'll be there. We'll talk to him about his draft story and his career. If you guys are in Charlotte, and Monty, I know you are, JD, if you ever make the trip down here for that Thursday, you guys let me know, man, and I got a ticket with your name on it.
Oh, I'm gonna message you after this, bro. I'm definitely there. I'm definitely
sounds good,
there.
Man. JD and Monty from the 4-Man Rush. Thank you, guys. Gonna go ahead and drop them back, and Alex, you and I are gonna wrap this thing up. That's pretty awesome, man. Those guys have such a story about creating that group that we have. Like, that's what we talked about when we first started doing our podcast, right? Is that we just wanted to do something fun for us, outlet. But that also other people might get a little bit of information or a little bit of perspective from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Done it, and they've just elevated it all so much, man. Like, that's just a ton of fun to talk to them.
Yeah, dude. So I was in and out. If you ever ask me any questions on the whole podcast, I heard like maybe 75% of it.
I could see you over there doing a whole bunch of like pantomime shit. So I just kind of quit going.
What's going on. I'm just trying to fix things. So, I heard that though. Yeah, they're the Bill Russells of, I guess.
The originators of the Panthers fan content, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're always gonna be
the barometer, man. Yeah,
correct.
They're the barometer, dude. That's where everything should be measured against, man. And
yep,
and I tell you what, man, a lot of fun to be able to rub shoulders with them and sit here and have them on the show, right?
Yeah, it feels like they need to kind of like accept you for you to be accepted into the content creators.
I'm just going to have to send them a Venmo and thank them for coming on.
Exactly. Exactly. They should obviously charge.
They should, man, for real. That was a lot of fun. I appreciate everyone sticking around for an hour and 40 minutes, especially when this was like the second run of this episode. We're going to get better at this, man. I got a feeling like this is, man, it's going to happen. I promise it's going to happen. But until we do get better, we'll at least be able to stay cool, stay fun. And until the next time, I'm your host, Ricky Raines, co-host Alex Bryant for the Bow Body Show.